Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
17.
In absence of our secretary tonight, I am temporarily appointing Mr. Joseph Davis to the secretary position for this night. Our secretary will be back with us, we anticipate. Mr. Secretary, will you call the roll as it is printed?
Anthony Cox.
Yes, sir.
Joseph Davis, I am present. Hang on a second. As the secretary, maybe I should turn on the recording device.
Right.
Okay, now it's being recorded. All right. July 13th, KPFT LSP meeting of the Montrose Center. Anthony Cox.
I'm here.
Joseph Davis. I am present. Mike Lewis.
Here.
Venetia Patel Adams. George Ryder.
Here.
Cliff Smith.
Here.
Ira Guy. Obviously absent. Teresa
Allen. I'd like to be noted that this is the fourth consecutive meeting observed by the chair and certified by the secretary.
Thank you. Teresa Allen.
Yeah, she's here.
I'll leave it blank right now. I think I started.
Yeah, she's here.
Nobody's
sitting here?
No. Alana Lana
present.
Wesley Bethune. Absent. Adriana Casamento. Present. Maria Elena Castellanos. Absent. Bill Collins. Absent. Don Cook.
Here.
Snuck up on me. Okay.
I made as much noise and was a
Bill Crusher.
Oh, here.
Resident.
Oh.
Anissa Faruqi.
Here.
Present. Hank Lamb.
Here.
Come in droves.
Dwayne Lark.
Present.
Jerry Lynch.
I have not seen Jerry.
Absent. Susie Moreno. Absent. Susan Rodlin, absent.
Question
absent. Nancy Zavar Naratoni.
Present.
Deborah Shapto.
Here.
Ted Weisko.
Here.
All right. And back to Teresa Allen. I'll leave that open for a minute. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. And we have 16 members present already, not even counting Ms. Allen, so we do have a quorum.
She'll be upstairs.
Do you want to go to the water, Mr. Chair?
Yes. I'll mark her presence as I walk in the room.
I entertain a motion.
Pleasure. Information.
Yes.
Since our ag guy has missed three meetings, why is he still listed as a delegate?
Yes, ma'am.
Four, actually.
Point of order.
Mm-hmm.
Point of order.
Unfortunately, I've learned a whole lot about our bylaws and Robert's rules lately. Therefore, I request to be added anywhere anybody wants in the agenda, two motions. First, that in accordance with Article 4, Section 9C, that we declare the seat of Ira Gagi guy open for his three consecutive absences. My second motion is to fill the seat for next run-up in specification Article 4, Section 10, which I believe is Mr. Kevin White.
Having heard these motions with standing from the Governance Committee Chair, who has studied the motion, are there any objections to the motion?
You have to have a second. I'll second.
Are there any objections to the motion?
The motion's really not needed. He's automatically on.
And I'm asking you, is anyone objective? Because this is the issue, Mr. Crozier. There is no record of how we have seated individuals. So what the governor's chair is trying to do is establish a clear procedure of a motion and record.
Well,
acknowledging the man has been certified, or the person's been certified not to have, but that's why he was on the agenda to answer your first question, because I had not certified with the secretary that was in fact three absences. So now this is the fourth, and the secretary is trying to implement this motion so that it would be on the record.
Okay, can I finish what I was going to
say?
He's actually missed four. It was February, March.
Right.
We admit that. I admit that. It was just not certified.
I'm just saying the motion's not necessary, so it's really out of order because we've never done that in the past. The bylaws don't require it. There's no motion required to
We have a record of how it's been done.
Let him finish.
No, I'm done.
Okay, go ahead.
According to Article 16 of our bylaws, we're required to use our Robert's Rules in all cases, and while the bylaws do provide guidance and do specify the things we're talking about, according to Robert's Rules, page 4, line 3, the basic principle in a deliberative assembly is that to become the act or choice of a body, and yes, emptying the seat is an act, filling the seat is an act, the proposition must be adopted by a majority vote. That is direct approval. Implying assumption of responsibility for the act must be registered by more than half the members present and voting on a particular matter in a regular and properly called meeting of the body.
Point of order?
Miss Allen is here.
Yes, sir, Hank.
We do have a record of it. It's the recordings of meetings where we've done that. And we did 8 of them in 1 year, essentially. So we have a good record of it, of how it's done.
So I heard a second of the motion.
I had a point of order.
But you can't be recognized right now, okay?
Yes, I can. I have it on the board since February.
Well, you, no, you're in your mind, but please stand with me. You're about there, like I told you.
No, I've been there.
Now, Mr. Lane, you second the motion. I heard the motion. The motion is on the floor. The motion has been accepted. Are you prepared to discuss the motion? Mm-hmm. If there's no need to discuss the motion, are you ready to vote on the motion?
Vote on the motion.
The motion, that's the first word came out of my mouth. Were there any objections? I allowed several members to speak regarding this motion. The motion is out here. You're not gonna, it's not gonna go back in its hold. So what I'd like to know is, are we now prepared to discuss the motion? Yes, sir.
We want to make a point of order.
Yes, sir.
The point of order is that our bylaws supersede Robert's Rules. Our bylaws are very clear that as soon as you miss three meetings, you are off the board. So Robert's Rules has really no bearing on this. So that's my point of order.
Okay.
Can I make a point of order, please?
I would like to. I was ahead.
Advisement. Go right ahead and then you.
Yeah, these things are automatic. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, this
we
is
have,
really.
I understand what Justice Garland said, but like an example, I can give exactly when we apply exactly that rule. He came back 40 minutes later, and we lost the whole meeting trying to seat him again in that seat. Right? Was exactly that way.
Point of personal privilege.
And now we are discussing that we need to
point
do
of personal
other way.
Privilege.
Okay. Yes, sir. What is your personal privilege?
I have just been unfairly characterized. We're not talking about a rule which this body made that if you miss three unexcused meetings, then you are off the board and various other things. We're talking about a bylaws. So what she was saying, indicating that I somehow was having lack of sincerity when I make this my motion, is irrelevant. We're talking about the bylaws of the Pacifica Foundation. The bylaws of the Pacifica Foundation are clear. Now, you all have voted last time that they're not. Well, okay.
Now, that's mischaracterization, too. So now what you just accused her of doing, you've just now done yourself.
You all have voted.
Now, how is that fair?
That's a statement of fact.
When you all voted for a procedure,
facts are about the same as your head. Everyone has one.
Okay, let me say this.
They didn't ascribe
voters or anything. Because I don't think it's worth fighting about.
Right.
If you want to do it this way, it's fine.
Well,
my point of order was,
I've given you your point of privilege, I've given you your point of order, and I am in agreement with you, Mr. Wright.
Point of information.
I believe that this motion particularly addresses a systemic problem that we have by not following procedures and process, but in the end, I am going to rule it out of order because it is a natural ascension to the board if no one can find any reason why the next member who is in order would not seat. So, therefore, having ruled that, and that can be, as usual, challenged. We love to challenge the chair on both sides here. That's what makes me feel comfortable.
Point of information.
As I stated, sir, in just a moment, you'll have your privileges. Now, if there are any objections and any challenges to the chair, which I fully am anticipating, I'd like to hear them.
Point of information.
Having heard, you'll be there just a second. Having heard no objections to my ruling that the matter is out of order and therefore the natural extension of the board member because there have been certified by the secretary an absence. If anyone can state why this member, Mr. White, should not be seated, you should have had ample time to have stated that. Having seen none, I'd like to add Mr. White to the agenda. And Mr. White, now you may have your point of information.
According to the bylaws, this seat that Ira just lost belongs to Dean Torres. He was second up at the list. My seating was done February 19th automatically without any need of a vote.
I'm going to let him have his say. He's earned his say. So if you're finished, sir, I am fine to simply rule that you are out of order, that we're now going to go with the order of the days of this business, and we welcome you to the board. And it's been a difficult struggle, but it was processed and proceeded. So welcome you to the board. Now, the next item on the agenda?
It's a point of order. Maria Elena Castellanos has missed many meetings now and should also likewise be removed.
Well, I do believe this, that we have a 9
She's past the limits.
Rule. Excuse me, Hank. I take your words and your advice under advisement, and we do have established a 9:59 rule under this chair at least. So if she come through that door before 9:59 or before the adjournment of this meeting, then your advisement will be taken. Yes.
Ms. Castellano was here in June, mm-hmm. in May and June.
Total.
Where are the three unexcused absence? She was here in January and February, and she missed February and March, and she came back in May and June. And I think that the bylaws said 3 unexcused absence in a row.
Yeah, consecutive.
I think that's why we certify absences and stuff instead of just going by what we think and emotions. So I told him I would take it under advisement, right?
Mr. Chair, we had a large discussion in this body about it and decided that
We're not going to take that up right now because it's not on the agenda.
Two forms of what I want to deal with.
Yes, ma'am.
Could everybody ask for the floor and not just blurt out? Thank you.
Well, I did recognize it.
Thank you.
Actually, I recognize Mr. Lamb and I recognize Ms. Costanova. And you know, hey, let me take a moment to say this. Out there on the email trail, some of us like to describe how acrimonious and how nasty. Well, but see, I was here a couple of 3 years ago with another chair yelling at you and carrying on and acting wild and crazy. So you can say what you want to say on the email trail, but I know it's a better place than it was 2 or 3 or 4 years ago, because I was here.
Mr. Chair?
Now, yes.
For the record, did we ever get the motion passed without objection or something about opening up the seat of our guy? Did that happen? Yes or no?
No, sir.
Okay.
Was there any objection?
No. There were no objections. So, in effect, the motion passed with no objections. He's seated.
Point of word.
Yes.
I believe you said that it was. You ruled it out of order, so it was
the entire motion.
Yeah. We didn't need to vote on it.
Yes, he did.
You ruled that the motion was out of order.
The motion that he had read.
Because it's automatic, assumed.
So to asking his question, the motion was ruled out of order, as they stated.
And you were correct.
And it wasn't challenged.
Then I'm challenging the ruling of the chair.
You have every right to do so. And therefore, as normal, think I've wore this hat often as chair. And I argue that the motion is simply is properly addressing. Yes, indeed. Mr. Hank Lamb seconded.
What is the motion?
The overruling of the motion. What he's appealing?
No, what the member, point of order I've taken, pointed out was that the challenge of the chair was not second. I assumed and I jumped guns because I'm so shell-shocked with challenges that I just assumed that there would be a second of the motion. And is there a second of the challenge? Great.
I hate to do it, but I do second the challenge because I think that you're wrong. I don't want to drag it out, but
that's the democratic way and the process that's been established to us so that we won't take guns and other things to solve our differences. So,
before everything, can we recognize the people
that have arrived?
Yes.
Susie Moreno, Nancy Saba, Natomi.
I was at roll call.
Yeah. Oh, you were? Well, Wesley. Thank you. Okay. Wesley Bethune. Who else?
Teresa.
Teresa Allen was on the roll call, wasn't she?
Okay. Dwayne Bradley.
Dwayne Bradley.
Don and Ted.
No, Don was on the roll call. All right, then.
Susie Moreno, present.
Ted.
Ted.
You was at the roll call?
Yes.
So I still have Susan, Jerry Lynch, Maria, Phil Collins is absent. A guy. That's the only absence I got.
All right, let's get to the business.
Okay.
There is no second on the challenge.
Yes,
I seconded.
Oh, well, you.
Boy,
I tell you. Talk about that. There. Okay. Now, my reason for ruling is that we do have a prescribed procedure. It's fairly frank and clear that in the event an individual missed three meetings or a desk or any other articulated event or occurrence, that the next person in line would be seated. That's my argument.
I want to point to everybody that I can give this to everybody that is posted in the official website. These are the minutes of February 11, 2015. The regular meeting of TSLP, and I want to it for here. Chair Pro Tem Mark requested the vote of acceptance of Dina Pollard-Sack's resignation and the seating of Mr. Dwayne Lark as replacement member on the board to fill the vacancy of the position of Dina Pollard-Sack, who had submitted her resignation from the group. Mr. Lark was added to the membership of the board by unanimous vote.
Right,
you can see, right, like people say one thing and then vote differently.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, motivate my challenge.
You may motivate your challenge.
She did too. Apparently, the ongoing established misconception is that the bylaws can do anything. That is incorrect. And I'll read from the bylaws. Article 16, the rules contained in Robert's Rules of Order, newly revised, as amended from time to time, shall govern the foundation in all cases where they are applicable and in which they are not inconsistent with these bylaws or any special rules of order which the foundation may adopt. The only thing that the bylaws have to say in regard to absences is in Article 4. It's the reward that three consecutive absences by an LSB member or delegate means they will then lose their seat. Therefore, in order to effect a change, again, there's nothing specific. It doesn't say that it happens automatically. It doesn't say it happens based on anything else. It simply says it happens and occurs. The way it occurs is by a motion. Again, reading from page 4 of Robert's Rules, the basic principle of decision in deliberative assembly, that's us, to become the act or choice of a body, the proposition must be adopted by a majority vote, that is direct approval, implying assumption of responsibility for the act. So exactly, if there were nobody voting, nobody is responsible for removing anybody, and nobody is responsible for filling a seat. That is not even legally possible. So obviously, this is clearly meant to provide us the record and the accountability for this action. Direct approval implying responsibility of the act must be registered with more than half the members present voting on a particular matter in a regular and properly called meeting of the body. Second, I'll address the point that was brought up that people have done it wrong for years. Page 19 of the bylaws. Custom in some organizations, in particular practice, may sometimes come to be followed as a matter of established custom, so it's treated practically as if it were prescribed by a rule. If there is no contrary provision in the parliamentary authority or written rules of the organization, the custom should be adhered to unless the assembly by majority vote agrees in a particular instance to do otherwise. However, If a customary practice is or becomes in conflict with the parliamentary authority or any written rule, and a point of order citing the conflict is raised at any time, the custom falls to the ground and the conflicting provision in the parliamentary authority or written rule must thereafter be complied with. Therefore, irrespective of how many times it's been done incorrectly, I've now brought up a point of order and it is not no longer permitted. And therefore, and now to follow it up, I have absolutely no objection to the opening of the seat of a guy. I have absolutely no objection to the filling of the seat by Kevin White. It's time for us to stop violating our own bylaws and start doing things properly.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
I agree with that.
I do too.
Let's start following the bylaws.
Well, I'm kind of rather like, go ahead.
As a point of information, would you read Article 4, Section 9, which directly speaks to what happens in the case of death, resignation, three people missing three meetings, or the case where somebody seeks a public office? Would you read that?
How much would you want to read?
I want you to read from it, from the beginning. From shall.
If I had you want read, D if because that goes into disciplinary procedures.
What's that?
D goes into disciplinary procedures. I hear you. You want to hear A, B, and C.
I just want you to read the part that includes death and resignation. Three people leaving.
I think I know what you want me to read. Thank you.
Okay.
Any delegate shall be removed from the position of delegate and cease to be a delegate upon the occurrence of any of the following. A, said delegate's death or resignation. B, upon the occurrence of a disqualifying act, e.g. the appointment of an elected political office. C, failure of a delegate to attend three consecutive local station board meetings, which absences have not been excused by a majority vote of the LSM members present.
That's good.
Amazing question. D moves into disciplinary.
That's good enough.
That, and final comment.
Isn't that completely clear? Upon the occurrence of any of those things, some of which are explicit in the bylaws, some of which, like death, are obvious, and resignation, which is actually obvious, that you are off the board at that moment, and that the next section says how you will be replaced.
Mm-hmm. Actually, and this was brought up a lot, too, if you allow me.
So,
Okay. Now, there is going to be one last voice on this matter, and that's me. Go ahead, finish.
Okay, one of the things that people have been mistakenly doing is bringing out dictionaries to tell us what words mean. And unfortunately, dictionaries are not designed to tell parliamentary bodies how to function. And I will read from Robert's Rules, page 16.
Can't make up a meaning.
When a society or assembly has adopted a particular parliamentary manual, such as this book, as its authority, the rules contained in that manual are binding upon it in all cases where they are not inconsistent with the bylaws of the body, of its special rules of order, any provisions of local, state, and national law applying to a particular organization. What another manual, like a dictionary, may have to say in conflict with the adopted parliamentary authority then has no bearing on the case. You can't use sources that don't have anything to do with parliamentary authority to explain parliamentary authority. And, again, it already says, to open the seat is an action. An action is defined on page 4. To fill the seat is an action. These are the occurrences. The occurrences don't care. When somebody sends an email, that's not an occurrence for the purpose of a democratic body. With an occurrence
of a
democratic body,
it says so.
Would you please?
We don't have an opportunity to go back and forth.
Well, this isn't like a trial. Minutes,
you don't get a chance to speak unless you're recognized by the chair. And therefore, the rules of engagement, according to Robert's Rules of Order, is he gets to speak, I get to speak, you get to vote. Now, finish, and then I'll speak, and you get to vote.
Okay. So, therefore, while it may seem interesting to bring dictionary definitions, the only occurrences that happen are acts by the board. When I send a resignation as a person or an individual, it becomes it's just a message.
You'll be
and when anybody here sends a message, it's just a message. But an act or a choice or an occurrence, when it comes to what parliamentary body does, it has to come before us, it has to be voted on, it has to be received to the votes. And I will say that one last thing I will add. We are directed by the bylaws to, we can't say Ira gets to keep the seat. The bylaws give us direction and say that seat is now empty because of the three consecutive absences. The bylaws give us direction, says that Kevin White will take the next seat because of the parameters he has fitted. We act to fulfill the bylaws. Thank you, sir.
Sir, I must say that your presentation has been more reasoned than our bylaws and given us direction as to after the seat is open. And for that reason, I'm going to vote against my own rule. So, therefore, ladies and gentlemen, are you prepared to vote?
Point of order?
Yes, sir.
A challenge to the rule of good chair is debatable. So it's okay for us to talk, in other words.
Well, here's the problem, Bill. You're one of the main ones who've written an email talking about what we don't get done because we rush through things. This insidious item right here is a classic example. You want to talk, you want to talk, you want to talk, you want to talk, and then you go and chatter nationally about we don't get anything done. You can't have it both ways.
I'm not the one who brought the motion.
Still, you know how you want to vote, but yet you want to keep this going. Let's reason for a moment. I think we all know how we want to vote, so why go another 20 minutes? You've had yours. Why go back and forth when it's going to be inevitable, the outcome anyway? Go right ahead.
Well, what I was going to say was a lot less than that. It's just that what Joseph was just saying at the end shows why the motion shouldn't be taking place. Suppose we vote no. What does that mean? It's crazy. We cannot vote no. It has to be approved. It's automatic. The bylaws supersede by Roberts.
Paul.
No one questions whether the bylaws supersede Roberts. What someone is trying to do here is set in a process. So what I'm... Go ahead, ma'am.
Point of information. Can you revert your motion? If you are voting against your own motion, can you...
Well, there's going to be a vote regardless. So what I'm suggesting to you is that if I had not ruled, then there was going to be a vote on the motion. So this is an effective vote on the motion still.
Then you do
take away your ruling, so we only vote on the motion.
Right, then we vote straight on the motion.
The ruling is on the floor just like a motion is on the floor.
Okay, so
what I want to dispense of is simple. You already know where you stand on this, okay? So why go back and keep on... Joey,
there's another piece from Robert's rules that I think is relevant.
But I really believe everybody think what they want to say is relevant. So in the end, I think what we ought to do is dispense of the chair's challenge and then go forward. And if you would just ask and prepare yourself to vote for or against this challenge... I've already told you I'm going to vote against it based on the great reasoning of establishing process here. And that's all it's about, establishing process. The man, yes, those of you in favor of sustaining the chair's ruling, please raise your hand. One, two. One, two, three, four. Those opposed the chair's ruling, raise your hand. One, two, three. Those who support for the chair's ruling, please raise your hands. I count four again.
Why?
Well, now you might have been scratching your head, but that's why I know they say stand up, vote, George, so to make sure you had your hand up.
Six
now. Seven. I see seven. All right. There was some reluctant votes, sir.
He had his hand up on the wrong one.
That was a twice vote. That vote was nullified. Now I think again. I remember I was wrong. Maybe that's why y'all want to talk more. Because you look a little reticent about your vote. Those in favor of sustaining the chair's ruling, show hands. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven.
Jesus, keeps
those opposed. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight.
And nine?
Yes. So therefore, the chair's ruling is not sustained. Now we can get to the motion. And read the motion, please.
The first motion is after examining the attendance record, we see three consecutive absences in accordance with Article 4, Section 9C of the bylaws, that we declare the seat of our guy open.
Please, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, ma'am.
We are discussing seated Mr. White, and Mr. White is voting.
It's a city.
He votes or he does?
I've been on the board since February.
They told him they had the power.
There are two actions to take. One is to open the seat. Once it's open, then we can seat someone in it.
And I understand.
I understand your point, but in the math of it, I agree. I shouldn't count his vote in the math of it. But it's really inconsequential, because the outcome of the vote would be the same.
I think if there's no objections, it wouldn't really matter.
If I tried to let that fly, but there are objections. That's why we're forced to carry the motion to a vote. And let me try it again. Based on the reading of the motion, established process, not to keep somebody on the seat. Are there any objections to the motion?
I want to abstain.
I want to abstain.
Record the extensions, but the motion carries. Now, is there a second motion?
Motion to fill the seat with the next runner-up as specified in Article 4, Section 10, which I believe is Mr. White.
Process. That's all it is. Any objection? Same extension?
Abstain.
Okay. Let it be recorded. Motion carries. Now, thank you. Let's get to the agenda, which I'm accused all the time of not being able to get through, and it's my fault, of course. But we spend 20 or 40 minutes on the city's items. Defining, we're now moving into suspending the meeting. Yeah, we'll suspend our regularly scheduled.
No, Mr. Chair, we have a totally different agenda. We open the meeting, we count the votes.
Okay, well, you're making an assumption. We are in the Pacific Delegates meeting.
I'll count the arrival of Mr. Jerry Lynch.
Thank you.
Item 2A, defining director's inspection designated agent. I advised and suggested that each of you read the memo regarding Pacifica bylaw amendment submissions to us about 8 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, but we knew they were coming up the pipeline 3 months ago. So I hope we don't have to spend a lot of time on discussing the amendments that's been before us that we've read, and they're not that complex. And it is, in fact, allow one of the PMB members to read the amendment if they so desire. And that would be 2A, defining director's inspection designated agent. Go right ahead.
You may read it? Okay. Rationale, the existing text does not define the eligibility of the designated agent. Article 12, Section 4 defines the inspection rights of members and is more limited than that of directors. It stands to reason that the designated agent should be more clearly defined. This amendment specifies other current directors and LSB members. Existing text, Article 12, every director or his or her designated agent shall have the absolute right at any reasonable time to inspect and copy all the foundation's books, records, and documents of every kind, and to inspect the physical properties of the foundation.
If there are no objections, what I'd like to do to expedite the matter, since you've had so much time to read them and discuss them among yourselves, and one director, PMB director, speak to, one PMB director speak against. Then we'll allow for a few questions and perhaps then go and vote. Is that a reasonable process?
No.
Why not?
Violates our bylaws, violates Robert's rules. Everybody should be allowed to speak two times for, I think we have a special rule of 2 or 3 minutes.
Totally 2 minutes.
2 minutes. Mm-hmm. I don't want just the director.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, there has been a challenge to what I consider to be reason. So what we will do is that we will allow the PNB members who carry this motion from the PNB to speak, because they should be the authority on the matter. Then we'll go around the table, and hopefully some of you will pass, so we can get to the real agenda. And therefore, I'm now entertaining. Do you have a point of order? Yes, ma'am.
We need to approve the agenda.
Are there any objections to the agenda? Hearing none. Go ahead.
It is approved.
Okay. Now, again, my job here is to have implored that you studied these homeworks 6 weeks ago. And I'm going to just keep reiterating that. Because this business before you has been sitting in your email boxes on the Pacifica National Board website for 6 weeks now. So, will they allow more? So, will we allow a representative of the PNB, raise your hand, who would speak to it, and a member who would speak against it?
I speak against.
Okay, you're a PNB member, you're not. So, is there, I'm asking a PNB member who is against this motion. Is there any PNB member of the four against this motion? Okay, is there a PNB member for this motion? Okay, so 2 minutes, sir.
Okay, yes. Okay, well, you know, the reason supposedly is to allow, to make sure that you don't have, confidential information falling in the hands of somebody who doesn't have fiduciary responsibility. I think that could be easily taken care of by just having them sign a non-disclosure agreement. And, in fact, if this was passed, Adriana would not have been able to do the inspection she just did, the director's inspection, because she had some of the people who were helping were not LSB members. And I think she has the right to do that. I think also, if this is approved, I think it violates California Corporation Code, from what I've read. I'm not an attorney, but the California Corporation Code says that, and our bylaws, of course this is a bylaw amendment, but the California Corporation Code also says the directors have unlimited inspection rights, and it can't be infringed in any way. Of course, you know, that doesn't mean that you should be doing things that would, you know, harass or employees or take too much excessive time or anything like that, but at least they do have the right legally, and so that's why I'm opposed to the amendment.
Well, sir, you still have a minute.
That's okay. I'll be
reserved your time. Thank you. Go right ahead. Recess the clock, please. Speaking for the amendment.
I originally, when somebody presented this bylaw amendment, I didn't really have my opinion on that, but I was thinking that it's worthy to bring some motions or some amendments to the floor and make people in different areas and the PNB discuss the issue. You know, it's really, I agree that the director's rights are, it's nothing that limits, it's limited to make a director's infection. What we were talking is about defining a little, because it's true, you said you can make them sign a confidentiality agreement, but how can you enforce or take any measures against somebody that is not a member of any of the body, and then, you know, you may sign and the people say, I do whatever. How? That was the idea. That's why I think that was important to discuss the issue. Because obviously the director can make the inspection and pick up all the documents and have a meeting in their house and have or whatever they wanted with lawyers or whoever is up to that director. But it's the responsibility of that director that grabbed all the paperwork. Mm-hmm. That was the reason why I was thinking it makes sense. And on the other hand, even when I went by law, the California code, talk about our unlimited rights. The reality is that most of general managers laugh at us and give us only whatever they want. And it's almost impossible to enforce our own rights. Then what we are trying to do is just that. Why don't we put a limit or enforce in a way the people that receive documents?
Okay. So that we won't violate our rules. Jerry, you're the first one with 2 minutes interaction with this matter. Whomever you want to interact with, you've got 2 minutes.
Okay, I don't understand. How does
his rule?
How does Bill say that this makes it that Adriana did not have the right to inspect their books?
She could do it, ma'am.
Under the old rules.
Yes. Okay.
Under
well,
the old rules.
Well, under the old rules, she could do it. And she has done it, but if this was passed, one of the things she did was she was doing inspections at all the stations, not just ours. So she had designated agents, and some of them were not LSB members. And so she would not have been able to do that if this amendment was in place.
Okay, that answers my question.
You have 1 minute and 24 seconds left. Would you like to yield that time?
I'd like to yield that time.
Well, Nancy, you're next up with your 2 minutes. Engage anyone on this issue.
No, I think it's a good thing. Designated agent should not be from another country, some other corporation, or Walmart, and should be.
Coming around. But she'd have to engage you first. Okay. This is y'all's time, so are you yielding the rest of your 2 minutes?
Yes.
If y'all be this efficient, I'm excited.
We get to talk twice.
You get to talk. No, ma'am. You get 2 minutes.
Oh, that's it?
That's it. Unless y'all vote to extend and we don't get to the next agenda.
Because a lot of times, a lot of the members don't have the time to get involved. And I think this is an important thing that needs to be done. And so if we don't have the members that are able or willing to get involved, then that's a good job that still needs to be done. And so we need to find somebody that's reasonably can do the job and trustworthy. So I guess I'm not with it.
You don't support the member?
Right.
Okay.
Actually, for the same reasoning, unfortunately, it seems like far too many LSB members out of the entire network are probably too disinterested in the goings on, and we need more sunlight on everything that we do. So I think that if it were to ever cause any limitations in the ability to do inspections, that could be a bad thing, so I intend to oppose it. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
So I don't really foresee it causing any limitations. I don't think that, and perhaps the other judges can speak to this, I don't think that it should be a problem to find another LSB or PMB member to help you out with the director's inspection. And I do think it's a good idea, like Adriana was saying, to make sure that it's someone that we can hold accountable. That's it.
Very good. Next, okay. Ted?
I think this is one of the most ridiculous, stupid, bad, horrible amendments that's come down. Unfortunately, it's just a waste of our time that we're even discussing it, because only one PNB member from Houston has ever actually exercised their right to do any kind of an inspection. So it's really a waste of our time, including the comments I'm making right now. But the responsibility is to the PNB member. The way it stands now, the PNB member can bring in somebody that they believe is helpful in the process of doing this audit, perhaps a CPA, but if we don't have a CPA on the board, or even if we do, if we want to bring in a CPA, a lawyer, whomever, we pass this, we can't do that any longer. The way it stands right now, it has to be a PNB member and anyone they bring with them. To limit it to the members of the board, who may not have the expertise that is necessary to do an audit, is crazy. This is horrible, dumb, stupid, and I hope everybody will join me and Bill Crozier and vote this stupid thing down.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
Can you add the member to this language? I mean, I can.
I don't censure.
Right,
as long as he's not using one of these seven deadly words, I'm not going to censure. Go right ahead, Mike.
Well, I think that we can find better ways to solve this problem. Here's another way that we're wasting a lot of the money that we don't have with KPFT. But if we need to, you know, do an investigation, then it needs to be done. But I still want to get down to the bottom and see what's going on first.
Right. You have the right to speak if you want to. Correct. Well, she spoke on behalf of the PNB. Go ahead. Pass. Go ahead. Hank?
I agree that this is one of the things that darkens the view of what goes on internally at Pacifica. Our members, any member, should be able to examine our books. You know, I mean, in my, the more open, the more light, the more everything that people can know about Pacifica, the better off we are.
Wow. I pass.
I already spoke.
I think that all of us, if we ever found ourselves in a position of doing a director's inspection, would require an accountant or a lawyer to actually tell us where the illegalities are, rather than just allow a layperson, such as most of ourselves, to decide that. So I'm against it.
I too am against it, and agree with what Kevin has just said. And I feel that any LSB member who is given that responsibility should be able to have any assistance in the world, but they ultimately would be responsible for that assistance findings.
Mr. Chair, sorry, let me correct you a little bit. I mean, people keep talking about LSB members. No, LSB members don't have the right to make a director's inspection. That's why it's been called director's inspection. What we are discussing here, who will be the designated agent? So every director can designate somebody else.
I'm gonna deal with that, but I'm gonna finish the row here, Doc.
I agree with Ted, along the line, Kevin. You want to be able to get somebody who has the expertise you need to do the job you want, and limiting it to people who may not have it doesn't make any sense. So I'm going to go with this.
I was there way back when this was put into the bylaws, and the reason why it was put into the bylaws is because we felt there was a lot of money involved, and there has been, and there have been a lot of suspicions about what's happened to all that money. But what we wrote and what is part of that is not that you can hire, you can order the staff around and collect, tell them we want checkbooks and we want this and we want that. You have the right, that anybody on the PNB has the right to go to the station and look at the books. You don't have the right to order staff around. We are short on money. We cannot afford the payroll in any of the stations. Probably more, we can afford it better in our station than any of the others. We can't afford to hire a whole gang of accountants to go in and say what. The reason why we did this is because there were suspicions, and I'm a suspicious character. I suspect a lot. sorry, that's true. There were suspicions that if you have the staff do it, if the manager were hiding large sums of money, he would also have staff who would know how to hide it. And in other words, it's ridiculous to call on the members of the staff to apologize, to write up, to have them do anything. This is an individual effort that must be taken by a PNB member. As to my knowledge, that's never been overturned or revised.
Next.
No question.
Any comments?
No, I don't get a vote on this, but I'll pass.
Okay. Wesley?
Pass.
Okay. Now, unless you are going to put forth the motion to extend this time, come by y'all, we just had.
I'm sure you're ready to vote in the first place.
Are you prepared to vote?
Can we call roll?
Those?
Yes,
yes, sir.
Yeah, because this is a roll call for
amendments. Right.
Okay. Tony Cox?
Here.
No.
He's not going to get away with that one.
But I agree with you, yeah. You're here.
May I abstain?
Abstain, okay. Joseph Davis, I'm opposed. Mike Lewis.
I'm opposed.
Venetia Pillell Adams.
I think I'm abstain for now.
George Ryder.
I'm opposed.
Cliff Smith.
It's my better judgment. Shifting my mouth shut. I'm opposed.
Kevin White.
Opposed.
Teresa Allen.
No.
Alana put him.
Opposed.
Wesley Bethune.
Opposed.
Adriana Casaneva.
I'm for, yes.
Don Cook.
For.
Bill Crozier.
No.
Anissa Fariki.
I'm for it.
Hank Lamb.
Opposed.
Dwayne Lark.
I'm for it.
Jerry Lynch.
Abstain.
Susie Marino.
I'm against it.
Nancy Sarbar-Nortomi.
For.
Deborah Shapto.
Opposed.
Ted Weiskill.
Opposed.
It wasn't working. We'd be out of here.
Oh, by the way, Tom, would you be so kind? Like you put that water in the freezer, could you go get it for us? Because I just got a request for one, I think.
Yeah.
Put some water since it was so hot.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully it's cold now.
We have 5 votes for, 13 opposed, 3 abstentions. The motion fails.
Motion fails. Next motion, next amendment, delegates election, record date. Now.
Request for information.
Yes, go right ahead.
What is the, on these, does it require a majority or a two-thirds vote?
13.
Majority.
13
votes.
13. No, not only majority. It needs to be at least 13
because that
votes.
It doesn't matter how many present, although we have to have a quorum, but we have to have 13 of the 24 to vote for it to pass.
Thank you.
Joseph, do you have the motion there?
This is.
I get it.
He says correcting it.
It's a lot more simpler than the last one, okay?
Is this the.
It is the
Article 3, Section 10?
Election record date.
Who is this?
Yes. Absolutely. I looked out for us. I just knew that we need to keep that, the thing in the car, the radio cool. Otherwise, we might get a little too crazy. Keep the radio cool. Did it get cool?
And the people who helped her.
I do have somebody.
Mine's right. No, I mean, I think I'm.